Final hour, Overdrive continues. Andy Petrillo's in here, in case you didn't know that, based on the song being played. Jamie Noodles McLennan, I'm Brian Hayes, and Melanin Friday on Overdrive is brought to you by our friends at Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Andy, you are in your element here because you got this track going. You got Chris Armas coming up, Toronto FC head coach.
Wow.
When Mulls dropped the beat, I was like, am I hearing things or did he's actually playing that for me? I love it because I never got it today on Leafs Lunch. I wasn't on the show, so right. I'm getting my Debbie Deb. You want to bop your head a little bit. Why are we all in denial? You guys play it cool. Like, what's this Euro stuff? You love it.
I don't know.
I don't.
I really
don't,
just don't think
I don't
I
like
do.
The song.
I don't think I do. I don't think
I'll
I'm
be
playing
honest,
it up.
Like,
it's not
actually,
good, eh?
It's
really
don't
not,
know.
Phil.
What? Who is this?
This is Debbie Deb. And this Debbie, is good.
So Debbie Deb. So it's John Johnson. John John.
This is, sure. Sure, if you want to do that. This
Debbie
is like
Deb.
from the 90s. Yeah, pretty sure it's 90s. Like, you know Stevie B. You know,
yeah,
Joey.
But, so Debbie Gibson? Is this Debbie Gibson?
This is not Debbie Gibson.
Remember
that
her?
Is a
that was
completely
80s.
Different
that
artist.
That was the 80s. Wow.
Yes.
I just,
she
I don't
now
know
does
this.
Hallmark movies, by the way.
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
But my point being is, I should know this. I love 90s music. I was, you know, entrenched in all of that. I've never heard this song before in my life.
Well, I've heard it many times courtesy of Leafs Lunch, obviously. But outside of the lunch, I have not necessarily been that familiar with this track. But it's your tune. I'm not here to rain on your parade, but I told you I'd get you back because you had to correct me earlier about penalty
she
kicks.
I was helping you. That is no, that is what teammates
the soccer
do.
Crowd.
That's
do you call it football or soccer?
No, I call it soccer.
You call it soccer.
I call. At some point, you also have to speak the vernacular of what's in your country. We just, I mean, I'll interchange a little bit. But
right.
Mostly it is soccer. Although and then I'll go back and forth between 1-0 or 1-0 or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, see, I think nil adds to the ambience of the sport, right?
Mm.
Like, I think most people understand, even if you're not a big soccer fan and you never played a game, you understand nil just comes with the territory.
Sure.
Right?
Well, it's like tennis. You're not going to say 15-0. You just know that you say 15-love.
Exactly.
30-love. Like, you
absolutely.
Just, yeah, you say it.
Yeah, you say right. it. That's just the way it goes. But, yeah, so Chris Armas coming up, and Toronto FC dealing with a lot of injury problems, as we know, but they're off to the quarters of the Champions League and played really well the other night. Michael Bradley's, you know, old man Michael Bradley's still kicking, man.
Hanging around.
He's bringing a lot to the table. He's still playing well. And
new life under Chris Armas, that's for sure. Those two games, like, I don't know if maybe it's because we're just caught up in a whole bunch of other things, but I just don't think TFC got enough love for what they did in those two games because the Mexican side they took on, Club Lyon, they were the Liga MX champions.
Right.
And they're also now in the second part of their season. So the last time TFC played a competitive match was November 24th. And since that time, Lyon had played 19 times. Like, this is a team in, you know, mid-season form, and TFC, as you mentioned, just decimated by injuries. Two crucial players as well, Pozuelo and, you know, Mavinga, Osorio. And then in the first leg, you know, Josie goes down with injury, and it's just these young guys where even I'm kind of like getting my little book out going, and who's this?
Coming up through the
that?
System, right? That's
yeah.
That's a big part of the storyline is these guys have been developed within the system but, you know, paid off. And
yeah.
That's that Toronto FC Academy. They've been building towards this for a while, and they're getting that payoff. So, yeah, you're right, though. Those are significant victories, Champions League. I think there's still a lot of confusion up here in terms of, you know, the significance of Champions League in North America and what it means. But if you talk to anyone like yourself, Andy, that's in the know and that loves soccer, footy, whatever you want to call it, I mean, it's as impressive as it gets. And after they won MLS Cup, or I believe went to the finals, and they started playing in Champions League a little bit more, you could tell, like, that was a big pursuit for them. Like, that was something they really wanted to accomplish and felt like they had a good chance of doing it. And now they're in the quarters of the Champions League for the first time, I believe, since 2018 or 2019. And they're in a good spot, you know, and they're battling.
Yeah.
And Armas is getting a lot of love, right?
Well,
and he's coming off like a legend of legends in terms of head coaches, right? Like, there's a lot of turnover for a long time. And then there was some consistency and a lot of wins, and Armas is coming in, taking over for a pretty heavy hitter.
Exactly. All I care about is how is the goaltenders performing.
Well, we might have our own little controversy brewing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, Alex Bono was a sixth overall draft pick in 2015, became the starter in 2017, was the guy in net when they won MLS Cup, and then went to the CONCACAF Champions League final in 2018, losing in PKs. Then he lost his starting role to Quinton Westberg in 2019. But, you know, now you're under a new head coach. He comes in with fresh eyes, and it's not a given that Q's going to be the starter. Now, you know, not Q's fault at all, you know, due to, you know, other reasons. He just couldn't join them right away to Florida, wasn't part of that first leg in Mexico. The start goes to Bono. He plays well. He gets the second start, plays well again. So now you're sitting here going, who starts on Saturday, right? And who's going to be the guy of choice?
Well, I guess we can go to the man himself. Here he is, Toronto FC head coach Chris Armas, making his debut on Overdrive. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. And we were talking about your transition, and it's certainly not a conventional one with COVID and you guys being transplanted down to Florida. And you've taken over for a legend up here, Greg Vanney. You know, there was a lot of turnover at that position for a long time before Greg got here and had a lot of success. But, man, you stepped in and you found your rhythm pretty quickly. But how difficult has this transition been for you, considering COVID and everything the team has been through?
Well, look, I think these days we're just expecting and more comfortable with things just not being perfect and what you expect. So, you know, I had certain things in mind when arriving and information that I knew about the club and certain players and, you know, was prepared in many ways. And then we get going. So it's so much about, you know, bringing a vision, coming with some urgency and knowing that, yeah, there's been some success and change is never easy. But at the same time, I saw a real opportunity, really, because, you know, defensively or I still saw the team giving up a lot of goals. In little ways, I knew I could put my stamp on things in terms of a style of play. And then a different voice is a different voice, right? A different type of leadership and a different type of energy that each person maybe can have. So, listen, I knew it would be a great challenge, one that I'm up for. And of course, then in Canada, things were very tight, you know, with COVID, and we get cases within our team. So we get going in 2 weeks, and then we had to shut down for 2 weeks. It was stop and start. But again, from day one, we said we're going to make no excuses and we're just going to stick together, control what we can, and, you know, commit to the team and live by the TFC motto, which is all for one, right? So that's what it's been about.
Well, Chris, we were just talking about, you know, what Toronto FC was able to do against Club Lyon and moving on in CONCACAF Champions League. And some of the talk around what you and the team were able to do is ranked in the top 10 of incredible games and incredible wins, you know, in TFC's history. And, of course, I know that you're new, but, like, how does it make you feel when you hear that already, you know, the first two times that you're behind the bench, that they're for wins that people are considering top 10 in franchise history?
Yeah, no, I think it's really interesting. I said from day one when I stood in front of the players and I stood in a separate meeting 3 hours later, I stood in front of the extended staff at the club. And I said, listen, everyone, here's what I'm about. Here's what I expect. I laid out the vision, but I reminded everyone that TFC, the train is moving fast here. I get that. There's a club full of winning and culture and history and that they all built, you know, the Michael Bradleys and the Vannies and these guys. And that I'm hopping on the train and I'll make sure everyone's in on it. And people who don't want to get on it, I'll make sure we remove those from our building. And I know I said to the team, look, it's a hard chair to get into. This is a hard door. Those are hard seats to get into. You know, it's TFC. It's a big club with high standards. So that was the message early on. And then, listen, we just talked about going after it. And when we knew we were playing Leon, we, you know, it would have been easy to say, well, it's the Mexican champions and we're out. We're missing six starters, our best players, blah, blah, blah. But we just got to work, and I promised them that if we stuck together, that our philosophy is one in which it requires everyone. We're a pressing team. We are a team that takes time and space away, and we we play in this way. When we have the ball, we're connected, and we don't have the ball, we're connected, and there's sprinting involved and high demands. But if you get it right, we will be hard to play against. And that was the first part that I think everyone got excited about. Josie out the door, everyone got excited about it. But then I think the big one is that it was with the younger players, the unproven guys, the Ralph Noble, Ralph Friso, Noble Okello, Jade. Those guys had like two professional games under their belt, you know, in the history of their career. Jacob Schaffelberg, he had one start last year. Luke Singh, starting at center back, 20-year-old, like unproven and all this. And so it's not just that you're playing young players, but you're missing a lot of players. So everyone said it was impossible, and we just shut the door and said, guys, stick to it, one play at a time. We're going to put Leon in a really, really fast game. And the guys, I saw their eyes. I saw the way they committed to training, and I knew we had a chance. And forget it, right? After game one, again, against some odds, we're playing at altitude. They've won three games in a row in the build. It didn't matter. Our guys went after it. And then the locker room was electric after game two. And that's why guys like John Conway, the goalkeeper coach, he texted me that night. He goes, Chris, this is in the top. He said top five moments in the club's history. I think the way in which it was done, against the odds, missing big players, and with the young guns.
We're chatting with Chris Armas of Toronto FC, head coach of Toronto FC. Again, they're into the quarters of the Champions League. And you mentioned the young guys, and that was a big part of the discussion up here in the reporting in terms of injuries and players with not a lot of experience stepping in and performing well. But you also started by speaking of that culture that had been established, and Michael Bradley is really at the forefront of that. And he's 33 now. You know, he's not necessarily going to play at the same pace he would have 5 or 10 years ago. He's had some injury problems at times over the last year or two, but his performances have been very quality. And in terms of him being a leader for you, in terms of him being a guy that you can rely on to get your message across to young players, how important is it for him to still be able to play and perform the way that he has been?
It's important. I told him day one, you know, I know Michael pretty well, and I told him day one, and we were talking on the phone before we can get together, and I had to establish a connection with him that he understands that I'm here for the team, but I'm going to help him improve too. And I'm going to push the demands high on him, not as a leader, not as a guy that can pass the ball well, but defensively, that he can win more, you know, be part of more duels, have more interceptions. You know, and when I was rattling off some of these measurables, it was quiet, but he goes, Chris, this is amazing. I'm loving it. I'm ready. And then I've just challenged him to cover more ground out there. I mean, he runs the most in training every day because we get the GPS data. And now he's, even the other night, the goal that Noble Okello scores that they took back, he has the assist. He's getting forward more because even, you know, in moments, if we can use Ralph, yeah, Preso with him in there, he can do more of the defensive work. Michael's still such a smart player and clever up the pitch. So, yeah, listen. And then, by the way, the rest of the United States and all the pundits out there counting him out. He can't even make a top five list of best midfielders. They think his best stuff is done. He's been top notch, and he's the greatest leader that I've been around in terms of a player.
Chris, you know, we were just also discussing with Bones looking so good in net, but Q obviously, you know, even looked fantastic last year. It's a luxury to have, you know, two guys who are considered number ones, but has there been any thought about how they would be deployed, how they would be used? I don't know if, you know, the fact that you've relocated, the fact that you are going on in CONCACAF Champions League, if that means you'll be using both kind of equally. I don't know what kind of thought you put into that.
Look, there was thought coming in. Quite honestly, that, you know, I thought, okay, we're going to evaluate everyone. May the best man win in each spot. It's up for grabs. Like, it's a new year. You know, who's been sharper? Who's had the off season? Who's on the winning team in training every day? Who's got, if it's close, okay, then it's, are there some intangibles? Is it, whatever. But early on, there was, you know, Q could, you know, it was essentially, I think, you know, Q is a starter from last year, and you know, maybe might have even had the edge, right, coming in, just from, hasn't done anything to maybe lose that, let's say. You know, it was a tricky start, and there's you know, certain factors, there's COVID in our team, there's different things that, you know, in the end, Alex gets a chance. Let's face it, it's pretty simple. Alex gets a chance. You know, again, it's circumstance, and he does really well, right? We've played two matches. He's been excellent. You know, he's kept us in both games, and in this last game, when everything would be decided, he's making big saves at the end, and yeah, I'm not looking too far ahead. It's for me, it's a healthy competition. I knew we had, you know, two number ones that are going to be really competitive. Listen, Q is tremendous. He's a pro. His attitude is best I've seen, you know. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, look, it's always tricky, right, in that position because you don't really get to come on, you know, sub on. So, you know, how do we use those guys? I'd love to find a way that we get in both guys' games this year, but it's also a position that's finicky. You know, you're not always switching the position, but we'll keep an eye on it. I think each guy's going to push each other, hopefully to make each other better. We'll see.
Well, you guys have a long runway ahead of you, but you're off to a great start. Congrats on
that.
And best of luck moving forward. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Chris.
You got it. Thanks a lot for the time, everyone. Thank you.
You got it. Chris Armas, head coach of Toronto FC. Yeah. Listen, yeah. he's got a pretty inspirational tone, I'll say that.
He's
going to step in there and challenge them. And I said, prior to having him on, and I even asked him about it, like, taking over for Vanny is not easy. Like, Greg Vanny's the greatest coach in this team's history. There's not even a close second. And he's jumping on a moving ship with some expectations and, you know, a decent enough team. So
he's passionate.
We'll see. Yeah, he's a passionate guy, as you would hope. You know, that's the job for sure. But he's changing the way they're playing, and it seems to be working so far.
Oh, yeah, they're buying in.
Yep.
The only thing I didn't get is who's starting in net, because he was like...
There was no answer there.
No, I was like a five-minute answer, and I'm like, okay, there's Q, there's Bono. Like, okay, who's... Well, Q's had a... And I'm like, okay, maybe it's Q.
Is the ultimate deflection.
Like, finicky.
Yeah, which is fine, because it's not our, you know...
No, and that's where soccer is different than hockey, because we always... The 1A, 1B... Like, it's if one guy played, you know, 41... You know, if they each played 41, we would completely understand it in a season, right? You're like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, hockey. In soccer, it's not like that. Like, I wonder if he tried that just because it is going to once again be a bizarre year for TFC, condensed schedule, you know, the Canadian teams, right, relocating, and with them going far in Champions League. But it's sounding like he wants to go with one guy and give him a rest here and there, but it sounds like it's going to be one guy.
Well, we'll see. Again, Toronto FC off to the quarters of the Champions League, so that's a good spot to be in so far early in the year. Thanks again to Chris Armas for joining us. Josh Lewenberg coming up on the Raptors tonight. Who's in and who is not? There's an update on the COVID list out in Vancouver as well. We'll tell you about that. William Nylander is off the COVID list for Toronto, so he expects to play in Vancouver on Sunday night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Mail It In Friday here on Overdrive is brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment Made to Chill. Josh Lewenberg will join us here in a moment. Raptors back in action tonight. The Jays rained out. They'll have a doubleheader tomorrow. And Jays coming off a loss last night. Had a chance for a Hollywood finish. Bo Bichette, one out, two on, down two. Couldn't get it done. Vladdy couldn't get it done next. And the rest is history. Now they're a game under 500. So get back to that later in the hour. But the Leafs were supposed to be in Vancouver tomorrow night. Now they're going to be there on Sunday. But William Nylander has been cleared. So he's off the COVID protocol. So Willie's back in the lineup on Sunday. And no word on Matthews, but I wouldn't be shocked if he played on Sunday. But this may be the opportunity for load management, because with all the respect to Vancouver, they're not a great team anyway, and I don't expect them to be, you know, flying here coming out of COVID protocols.
How can you be guns blazing or on firing at all cylinders when you haven't skated in like 23 days?
No, you can't expect it. You can't.
And then skate for 2 days and play against the top team in the Northern Division. Like, I could see. I mean, JT Miller was passionate, and I loved his words because it was honesty. But basically what they did is they bought themselves a couple more days, which it's fine, because we saw at the start of the season, you know, it was like, let's start this season and, you know, right into regular season, a couple practices. So, guys, it's like riding a bike. So if they've skated today, they'll skate tomorrow and they'll play Sunday. But it is, there's going to be rust on their game. And, you know, that's, the Leafs have to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you got to go in knowing these are 2 points we got to get. You got to win them. But I'm just wondering, you know, do you not force Matthews back? But if you think, why not give him an extra day or two? Why even play him in Vancouver? Because you should be able to win those games without him, right?
Yeah,
right.
I would say rest him. I would, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I know that the cap situation is also something that needs to be considered. So you can't be like, ah, and rest Thornton while you're at it, and you know, rest Simmons. Like, I get it, you know, whoever you got to bring on in, but. 12 games left in the season, and it's been a wicked ride. So, you know, take advantage. And it almost sounds cruel to say that, but you know, we know what Vancouver, you know, has been through.
That's right.
And just sit your guys who you know need to be at peak performance come playoffs. And if they're dealing with something, don't push it.
They've got four games left against Vancouver, and if you're going to adhere to load management or we need to take a breather here or there, you clearly do it against them. You don't do it against Winnipeg or Montreal. Like, those are the other teams you're going to play a lot down the stretch here, Ottawa a little bit as well. But you got a bunch of games against Montreal, few games against Winnipeg. Those are meaningful games. Those are two teams you could play at some point in the playoffs and, you know, are still litmus test type games. But the Vancouver games, you know, I don't think I'm being ruthless here in suggesting that I don't expect much out of the Canucks. Just because of what they've been through. I think that's just human nature.
The crazy part about all of this, guys, is I don't think Pettersson's available to them.
No, he's still not.
Which is, it's awful for him because, you know, the kid is a fantastic player. But, you know, you were thinking with extended breaks and all of that.
He's still out, dealing with the injury.
Yeah, he's not available. It's
but Nils Höglander has come off the COVID list for the Canucks, so only Nate Schmidt and Jake Virtanen remain on it.
Right.
So, like, that 2 weeks actually really flew by. Like, considering what we've been dealing with for 13 months and what we're about to go through again here in Ontario, it does seem like time moves somehow. I don't know how it's going to.
It's not been moving today because we're pissed.
I got to admit, I am so off today. Like, I am so off. I can barely put a sentence together.
No,
I've
you're
just
fine.
Been so it's mad just, about everything and where
is.
We're at. And
we're all
another
busting
button's
going
to come undone on the shirt. Like, it's going to be a mess by the end.
I'm thinking about going
hair.
That MPP, that member of Parliament. By 6:50, I'll just be out for a
job. If you came back and you were buck naked sitting in the chair, I would die.
And you know what? I would understand it.
Yes.
I would also understand it. I'd be like, yeah, Hayes, I get how you're feeling. It's okay.
It's almost like you could do anything. I saw your tweet earlier, Andy. You can do anything right now. People would be like, I understand that. Totally.
Yeah. What was that about somebody naked yelling in the street? Right?
I just said that. Yeah, I said, given like what's going on right now, obviously in Ontario, I said, if I were to see a naked person in the street screaming at the top of their lungs, laughing and crying at the same time, I would completely understand them. Yeah. I would get it. I would be like, yeah, I'm probably going to join you in five minutes.
Robert Redford nod meme. That would be me. Like, that's I totally understand meme. It. I get it. Raptors are in action tonight, if you can believe it. They're favored tonight, if you can believe it. It says a lot about Orlando. But Lowry not going, Siakam not going, Ananobi not going. And it sounds as if Gary Trent will not play tonight. And Harris remains out, but Van Vliet and Bembry are going. So here's our TSN 1050 Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. Are we tanking or not, Josh? Can you clarify this for us? What's going on here with the Raptors?
You'll be happy to know, Brian, that I am not resting tonight. I am active and available, and I might, if they can get me down to Tampa in time, no, I don't think there's enough time, but I'd be willing to play, too. I could suit up.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, the subtlety is out the window here. I mean, I think you could sort of disguise it a little bit better a few weeks ago. Kyle Lowry sitting out for the toe infection. Okay, understandable. He's 35 years old. He's been dealing with something most of the season. Get it right. Sure. OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, last week sitting out in the back-to-back. They're not long removed from recovering from something that we know is very serious, and they've played a lot of minutes in a short amount of time, so resting them here and there, okay, fine. But you look at what happened here over the last 48 hours. The Raptors beating San Antonio. The Bulls losing the fourth straight game and then also losing Zach LaVine in the health and safety protocols. And the response from the Raptors tonight is to rest three of their starters. They didn't play yesterday, by the way. They don't play tomorrow. And then Gary Trent Jr. is the fourth starter who's sitting out tonight. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to sugarcoat this in terms of what the direction and what the approach is here for the rest of the season and whether or not the Raptors care about the play-in tournament, which, by the way, they're only one game out of at the moment.
Right, and I guess, you know, it is actually somewhat crowded by default because all these teams are really not playing well, and they're borderline terrible teams, the Raptors included. I mean, it's difficult to get to that point because of where they were a year ago, let alone 2 years ago. COVID has clearly applied to it, but they're a bad team. They're 12 games under 500. But Washington is somewhat lurking as well, right? Like, and if Russ is playing, and I expect that he will, then I wouldn't be shocked if Washington played themselves into that 10th seed.
And their schedule is far easier than the Raptors and then Chicago's. This is just it's the race for the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference. Like, does anyone really want this thing? I guess
No. Maybe
Washington to appease Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. And what's funny about the Chicago situation, I guess if you compare it to Toronto's, you've got the Chicago front office who clearly wants to squeeze into the playoffs. I mean, they went all in at the trade deadline, gave up draft picks to get Nick Vucevic. So clearly they want in, but clearly the players haven't got the message. They're not playing very well, and the Raptors situation is sort of the opposite. The front office clearly has no intention of doing everything they can to squeeze into the playoffs, but the players, I mean, we always say players don't tank, and that's the funny thing about this is you can sit out as many guys as you want, but especially in a game like tonight against Orlando and with the Raptors, I mean, just about everybody that's on the court for the Raptors right now, they're playing for contracts for next season. They're not signed beyond this season, so even the best tank plan, unless you're OKC and you're really like, I mean, who are the Thunder playing right now? Who the Thunder dressing and putting out on the floor right now? That's an aggressive tank for me. This is a little bit, if you're going to call it a tank, maybe it's tank adjacent, an organic tank, but it's tough because, as you mentioned, some of those teams in this race right now are not very good, so you might not want the play-in and end up in the play-in anyway. I hate the play-in, by the way. If you're going to do it, maybe do it similar to how it worked last season where you've got to be a certain amount of games within eighth place in order to qualify, in order to force the play-in, because a team that's 10 games or 12 games under 500 shouldn't be in the playoffs under any circumstance.
No, the play-in has always been stupid. The play-in is the regular season. That's the play-in.
Right.
And now you're going to have an additional play-in simply for TV purposes, which we're all in the industry. We understand why they did it. It's for money. But the belief was that teams like the Raptors would still be pursuing it. Like, wow, actually, forget 8th seed. We can get back in the 10th. And the Raptors are proving right now. Here's a case study. Season 1. We don't want it. We have no interest in that. And it's stupid. And also the rules, you get in. If you're the 9 and 10th seed, you got to win twice. If you're 7 and 8, you got to win once.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
It's revenue generated. That's
it
what
is.
I
That's
what
think. Exactly. And I'm not naive to that, Noodles. I get it. It's always about the money, and they're going to promote it like it's real playoffs, even though it's not. But yeah, I don't know. There's silver linings, and I know you've been on that, Josh. Malachi Flynn being probably the most prominent one, and I've liked his game. I've liked his aggression. Fourth quarter. I mean, it's a fourth quarter sport, and he has not been shy. And I think there's something to take out of it. But how do you apply the circumstances based on what they're playing for or what they're not playing for and take this into consideration and apply it to plans for the upcoming offseason?
And maybe that's the argument for pushing towards the playoffs and saying, all right, we're close enough to this thing. Why don't we see if we can make a run? I understand the other side of it, obviously, as well. But there is value in making the playoffs, obviously, for an organization that prides themselves on their winning culture and sustainable success and all of that, to be able to say that we've made the playoffs in 8 straight years is something I'm sure that in some ways is appealing to them. But also when you look at, I mean, the primary goal for the final 16 games here, win or lose, playoffs or lottery, is to develop these young guys. And at this point, pretty much everybody on the team other than Lowry is considered a young guy to some degree. So to be able to get Malachi Flynn, Gary Trent Jr., some actual real winning experience in a playoff-type situation or in a playoff-race situation could be really valuable to them. But I'm not naive as to say that I don't understand the value in the other side of it, where you take this really unique opportunity. It's been a lost year in many, many ways for the Raptors. Would it be a rebuild? You wouldn't have to tear things down to potentially get a really good pick. Maybe you just have to be bad for the next 16 games, end up with a good pick, add it to a pretty good young core for next year, and then you're back on track. So I see value in either of those situations. I think the real disaster disaster scenario, which could potentially play out, it's playing out right now. The disaster scenario is if they don't make the playoffs, they're a game or two out of the play-in or whatever it ends up being, but you're not bad enough to get a good pick. So you're just in this no man's land middle area where you end up with like the 10th pick and you don't have that experience of being in the playoffs for the young guys.
Josh, how is Nick Nurse holding up through all of this? Have you had, I mean, obviously through Zoom and stuff, like just watching his demeanor, you know, there's nights where, you know, it's been a battle for him. He's visibly frustrated, and other nights he just seems, for lack of better words, you know, a little bit more calmer. Not defeated, that's the wrong word, because I don't think that's
not
in his nature.
Not far off, though.
But you know what I mean? Just the way he's carried himself. Like, how do you assess, you know, how he's handled everything, you know, this up and down season?
He's frustrated, Noodles, and I'm happy you asked that question, because I asked Nick a variation of how do you feel about what's going on right now, as diplomatically as I could without using the tank word or any of that. But I asked him, he speaks to Bobby and Masai every day. I asked him if they're having those open discussions about what the direction is for the final 16 games and if everyone's on the same page about it. And you could see the frustration as he answered the question and just basically said, listen, they tell me who's available on any given day. I coach that group and I try to win those games. And he pointed to the game against San Antonio, despite who they were missing. They played well. They did the most with what they had and they won that game. We always say players don't tank. Well, coaches don't tank either. So yeah, I imagine this has been very frustrating for him. And I'm also curious, I wonder how the players feel about this too. We know that Pascal Siakam really let Nick Nurse have it, the game that he was benched in the fourth quarter. Well, how does he feel, considering how competitive he is, how does he feel about sitting out for rest? Kyle Lowry is a guy that takes charges in preseason games. How does he feel about sitting out for rest? So this is a really awkward situation. And obviously the big elephant in the room is that tank word that people are using, but we're never, obviously, for obvious reasons, we're never going to hear the team themselves use. But that seems to be what the approach is right now.
With Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, Raps, taking on Orlando tonight down in Tampa. And you mentioned Gary Trent Jr., who, again, will not go tonight. He's nursing an injury, but at some point he's going to play again. And he's made a pretty quality first impression on Raptor fans. He's played well. He's put up, you know, a lot of shots, and his numbers are off the charts. In terms of what we've learned about him, what we knew when they acquired him, he is going to be a free agent, restricted at the end of the year. How do you see this playing out with the Raptors and Trent?
Well, the great irony there, Brian, is a big reason why they made the trade is moving a guy who the Raptors really liked, Norman Powell, but he was about to become really, really expensive. So you move him for a younger, less expensive player, a restricted free agent, somebody that you have some control over in free agency, and somebody with upside who they also really like. Now, a lot of those things are still true. He's still younger than Norman Powell. He's 22 years old. He still has the great upside and all of that. But now I'm starting to wonder how much less expensive is he going to be? He's still going to be less expensive. He's not getting $20+ million a year in the same way Norman Powell will. But he's going into a situation now, a free agency class that is watered down compared to what a lot of people expected it would be. There are a lot of names that are off the board now. No Giannis. No Paul George, a bunch of other names. I mean, you expect Kawhi to re-sign in L.A., LeBron, the same thing. So there are going to be teams with money to spend, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of those teams throws a significant offer sheet at Gary Trent. What that could look like, I don't know, upwards of $13, $14, $15 million at least. The good news for the Raptors is they can match. And they clearly see him as a long-term piece in terms of their core. He's looked like a fit. And I guess the good news on the other side of things is Gary Trent, I mean, he knows how to play to his audience. He's doing all the right things, saying all the right things, showing up in Blue Jays jerseys and OVO shirts. And he said time and time again here over the last few weeks that he sees himself being here for a long time. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of this first month of his Raptors career, it's hard to imagine it going any better than it has. He's put up career highs, hit game winners, and he really has surprised me in a lot of ways. I mean, we knew he was a good shooter and a scorer, but shooting off the dribble as well as he has, and defensively, I mean, he's looked really good here. It's going to be interesting to see if it can continue here, like you said, when the circumstances are a little bit different.
Well, I love that. I plan on being here for a long time. He hasn't stepped foot in Toronto But, you know, at some point that will happen.
He already has a statue, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see how it plays out tonight. Good stuff as always, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Lundberg, our TSN 1050 Raptors reporter. Raptors Magic coming up. Tip off at just after 7 o'clock. And, yeah, Gary Trent, you know, he's playing it up. That's a smart play. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against it. But how do you know if you like the city? How do you know where you're going to live? It's not his fault. I mean, clearly he's just going where he's got to go, and they're playing in Tampa, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
I wonder what this means for the Jays too, right? Like this whole lockdown, shutdown, whatever the hell we're calling it. No one knows because there's no communication, right? Like our provincial government, they have no idea how to communicate anything
to
anybody.
It's 2 weeks, right? It's 2 weeks, right?
Well, extra 2 weeks on top of the four, so
exactly.
6 weeks.
See, this is the province right here, the three of us. Is it 2 weeks? No, it's an extra 2 weeks. Nobody knows because they don't communicate properly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and
you're right.
I'm not yelling at you, Noodles. I'm yelling at you.
No, I'm laughing because I'm like, you're bang on because I'm like, isn't it?
But
what's
that's
going
it.
On here?
Everyone like, all over the 14.5 million people, and everyone's like, what does this mean again? Where are we going? What are we doing? Can the cops, what?
The cops can just stop you? Like, what's happening?
Cops can stop you. Apparently, they have the power to stop you, ask for your address, ask where you're going, if you're not essential, if you're, I don't know. I mean, I don't. And that just puts unnecessary stress on cops too. You think they want to be doing that?
They don't want to approach a mother with her kid who's walking through a park and, you know, make the kid cry and get like, why? Cops don't want to do
that. They've already got a target on their back in terms of, you know, from a lot of different parties and a lot of different angles. And it puts unnecessary stress on everyone. And it just that idea is so mind-boggling, but I believe this extends until May 20th. So if this is going to continue through to May 20th, we're talking over a month.
That's a month from now.
The Jays, you know, they're not coming home on the 21st.
No, they're not.
Right?
No.
Like now it just seems like it's less and less likely that they're coming back at all this year. And they're going to play in Dunedin and they'll end up in Buffalo. And they'll be right across the border. We'll be able to see them if you're down there in Niagara Falls or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
It's
for Toronto FC, I would assume. Sorry, Andy, but I think that's probably the truth.
Yeah, I can't even talk about it anymore because it's like this low-grade anxiety that's just going to – you're right. I mean, who knows when they'll come back. And even when you look at I don't know if the other two teams would have the ability to do this because, you know, in the CPL, the Canadian Premier League, the three teams in Ontario, one of them is actually owned by Atletico Madrid, right? So they have the connection in Spain. They got out of Dodge, like I want to say almost a month ago because – Ontario wasn't opening up training to them, so they took a hike. Forge, York United, I don't know if they can do that, but Atletico Ottawa's like, well, we have this connection in Spain, and we're gone. But you know how we started the show? Like, what's frustrating, too, is that when the federal government says, we will deploy the Red Cross to help because your hospitals are overloaded, and you have actual healthcare workers saying, we need help, and then the provincial government's response is, no. We don't need that. We just need supplies. No, you need everything. We need everything right now. You do not turn down help.
Yep. No, and that's to me is just partisanship at play. That's politics at play. That's a conservative government that won't accept it from a liberal government. And, you know, I've never understood the idea of connecting to one party or the other. I voted for both. I voted for men, women, young, old. I voted for everything based on the circumstance and the situation.
How about common? Vote for common
just
sense.
Common sense.
That's
exactly.
Oh, that doesn't exist. Don't.
That's what's driving me crazy from both
and you're
parties.
Right. You know what? You are 17 minutes away from a nice ice cold Coors Light.
That's
so. Let's finish this strong and not. Get anybody down heading into the weekend.
I think this is what has to happen. We come back with some Bobby Laux. We play Bob Laux audio.
I want Andy's reaction to this.
We need Andy's reaction to Bob Laux explaining what happened at a hockey game. There's Andy.
I cannot confirm or deny what is in this
That
bottle.
Is the most massive. What is that? An urn? You look like
Paul
Bear.
That is like that cup
you can't
is
see
massive.
In it. You can't see in it.
Oh, yes.
You're Paul Bear. Like the Undertaker's right behind you, I think. We'll come back and wrap up whatever this has been all afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So it was a big week here on TSN 1050. We celebrated our 10th anniversary, and in honor of TSN 1050's 10th anniversary, Access Storage is giving away a $500 Real Sports Apparel gift card. Enter online at tsn1050.ca. Access Storage is a proud partner of the Toronto Raptors, and the Raptors are coming up, taking on Orlando. And the Olympics not far away. And I saw the head of the Olympic Committee in Tokyo said, not happening, not canceling, it's going. I know that's right up your alley, Andy. And when I saw the tweet a couple of days ago come out of the uniforms that the Canadian athletes are going to be wearing, I honestly thought it was a joke. Like, I thought
it was being
photoshopped.
You like jean jacket?
The jean jacket?
It's so 80s punk. I don't know. Just you pair that with a nice pair of like 6-hole, 9-hole Doc Martens.
But who's doing that? Walking into the stadium, holding them like the flag bearer is going to look like a punk rocker. Like,
yeah.
It's got graffiti all over it. I don't understand it.
Like, I don't know. I kind of like it.
Okay.
I think people have just given up. Like, their wardrobe, like everyone's been living in sweatpants and T-shirts and, last 14 months. And they're like, put together a uniform to go in and like make it comfortable. So it's like a jean sweatsuito. Like pull that. Like you pull something because everyone, I guarantee, has done some form of inventory around their house, like cleaned out a closet, done something because you've been wanting to kill time. Hayes, you said you're going to be tinkering in the garage,
right? Yeah, big tinkering,
like, So I guarantee you've come across something that you haven't looked at in 10 years, whether it's a piece of clothing, it's an old picture of something, like and like gravitated towards it. That's where I think that idea came from.
Yeah, you could be right. Like, I guess they're going with the Canadian tuxedo vibe,
right?
Which we are known for around the world.
Brett Favre made it famous recently in Winnipeg, didn't he?
That was Aaron Rodgers.
Not Brett Favre, sorry, Aaron Rodgers, not
Brett
Favre.
The host of Jeopardy, not just the quarterback of the Packers.
I have a jean jacket, and now I might just go out and spray paint it just because I like how that looks.
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. I mean, the one thing I would actually support after a full year of only wearing track pants is if they actually – it was like a full tuxedo or like suits. Yeah. We're like, what we're going to do? We're going to show the world that we're going to dress to impress here because we haven't done anything in over a year in our country.
Hayes, I'm going to wear a ball gown and a tiara going grocery shopping when all this is over.
Like, me too.
I'm going to dress up to the nines doing the dumbest things.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Just stuff that you missed. That's the thing. Like, we have taken so much for granted. Me sitting at a sports bar having a beer, yucking it up with the guy next to you or the table next to you talking about stuff, hugging, not hugging a stranger, but like, hey, nice to meet you, shaking hands. Like, you know what I mean? You meet somebody, you give them a hug or say goodbye, all we've done is hug our loved ones, which is, we should, but you know what I mean? Like, just the camaraderie. Yeah. I missed that so much, and I took it for granted. I never will again.
No.
I never will again.
No, I think you speak for a lot of people when you say that. And, we're all thinking of everyone throughout the province, and obviously there's people that are going through really, really difficult times, and this is not going to help. I mean, it's supposed to help. I think, hopefully the numbers come down. Hopefully the hospitals stabilize ultimately. That's why we're doing any of this.
Yeah.
But in terms of people that are just trying to keep it together ultimately, I mean, this isn't going to be helpful for anyone. It's going to be tough and it's going to be a grind. And, let's hope we can all just keep grinding.
And I think we all recognize our own privilege of being able to work from home because there are so many people who cannot do that. So obviously we think of them as they have to continue leaving the house all the time for work.
Agreed. Yep, that's the truth.
We need to end on a positive note. Let's
Bobby
just
Loux.
End the show on the Bobby Loux sound.
Play it.
I don't know what happened. I think off the face-off, their guy stuck Mo, and Mo cross-checked him in the face, and that's what got the whole thing going. And, they sent a guy off the bench, which I don't like to see, but, I guess that's hockey.
Yeah, what do you make of that,
Andy? Is.
That's hockey. Hashtag Bob Loux.
If you hit me, I'm going to hit you back.
Yes, we need Bob Loux in Ontario. That's what we need. Him running
the
show.
Need.
Bobby Loux for premier. Thank you, Andy. Great seeing
Thanks
you as always
again,
and talking
guys.
To you. There's Andy Petrillo, Noodles. Have yourself a great weekend. As always, we are out of here. Enjoy the games. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at
4 p.m. We'll chat then.
We'll chat then.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah, three pack. Three pack. I love it.